How do you cope with a toxic environment? For example, if your work situation or living situation is adding a lot of stress into your life and you cannot leave at this very moment, is it even possible to heal in a toxic environment? Well, besties, today is a full breakdown of three things that you can start doing right now if you're in one of these situations where you cannot leave immediately. So let's dig in right after this intro. Welcome to the Inner Child Podcast. Now with 2 million downloads, I help high achievers recover from painful relationships and childhood trauma. Let's heal together on season 2 of the Inner Child Podcast. All right, welcome back to the first episode of season 2 on the Inner Child Podcast. I am your host, Gloria Zhang. I'm a psychotherapist, an author, a healer, and I'm a dating coach who created the Situationship to Soulmate program. And I'm super excited to kick off season 2 with this really, really important question today. Now, last week, we posted our first ever animated version of the podcast on our YouTube. Today is going to be one of those videos as well. So please go ahead and check out our YouTube video. They're always a lot of fun. Now, today we're going to be talking about a really popular question that a lot of people on their healing journey will encounter at some point. When you realize that you are starting to outgrow your environment, you realize that perhaps the area that you live in or your workplace or even your friend group isn't as great as you thought it was. And obviously, it takes time to make changes. It takes time and energy to look for new jobs or seek out new places to live. And in an ideal world, we could just get up and go on the snap of a finger. But for many of us, this is not something that can happen right away. So what do you do in the meantime if leaving tomorrow is not an option? We're going to be talking all about that today, identifying what exactly is a toxic environment. Is it even possible to heal in a toxic environment or not? What are seasons and why knowing your seasons is the number one most important thing to do when you're in one of these stressful situations? And we're going to talk about three practical steps that I actually guide clients through when they're currently navigating a difficult situation like this. And I want to mention that today's episode is actually dedicated to Leah. Leah is a member of our listener community who is currently battling cancer, and they are the one who submitted this question. So mwah, shout out to you, Leah. We are praying for your recovery. And this is the question that Leah wrote to us. How can you be your higher self when it's your environment? My mind is good at healing, but my body is triggered by yelling, weirdly only at home. I've tried everything in my power. So let's talk about it. What is a toxic environment and can you actually heal in a situation like this? So we want to put out a disclaimer, first of all, that we're talking about stressful, toxic situations, not dangerous, abusive situations. Your safety is always our number one priority. If you are in a situation where you are fearful of your own safety or fearful of your own life, you need to get some help to help you navigate getting out of that situation safely. This is not what today's episode is about, but we have included some resources in the link below for you to check out. So, you know, sending our wishes to anybody who was in an unfortunate situation like that. But for the purpose of today, we're talking about toxic situations. A toxic environment are external stressors in your current living situation, whether it is the physical environment or social environment. This can include things like your neighborhood, your neighbors, your landlord, your workplace, your friends, your country even, etc., etc., where these external stressors are depleting you of energy rather than filling you up. It is almost like it's draining you of your life force and sometimes putting your body into fight or flight trauma response. All right, it's not a very comfortable situation to be in. I've been in situations like that in my life, especially when I've had, you know, not the greatest bosses in the world who created this culture of anxiety and paranoia in the places that I've worked at, and it affects everybody who enters that space. These are situations that are not immediately dangerous, but over time will slowly chip away at every ounce of your sanity. And believe me when I say that. These are not places that we want to live in long term, but maybe it's just not possible to pack up a bag and get away tomorrow morning. All right, so these are the situations that we are talking about. What's tricky about questions like this is kind of what I alluded to in last week's episode, episode number 131. Does society want to keep you traumatized? Now, in the Western world, we have a very hyper-masculine approach when it comes to healing and overcoming toxic situations. You hear a lot about wanting to push beyond your limits and overcome everything and force your way through challenges, right? Now, of course, there is a time and place for moments where we need to pull up our bootstraps and get through something, but this is not sustainable in the long term. And as you all know, my personal philosophy is a balanced approach. You will live a great life, an exceptional life, if you understand the difference between times to cope and times to thrive. It will change everything about the way that you look at healing, the way that you look at how energy works throughout different days. And the way that I like to describe this to my clients is by understanding how to know the season you're in. You should write that down. Know the season you are in. There is great wisdom in understanding that not only life operates and transitions through different seasons, but we also transition and operate through different seasons, not just from the day to day, but also within the single day, not just through the four seasons of life, but we also transition through seasons each and every day. Now, seasons are when we shift the way that our energy is being used to match what is happening around us. Instead of forcing things and going against nature. And when it comes to healing and thriving, when we are in an environment that allows us to thrive, we heal by expanding and growing. But when we're in a situation when we are fighting for our survival and we are trying to protect ourselves, we contract and we defend. Notice how we cannot expand and contract at the same time. This is similar to how we can't hit the gas and the brakes at the same time. Just like a plant that is absolutely withering in its pot, it's not getting sunlight, it's not getting water, you would not expect a plant to be able to blossom in a situation or environment like that. The most that a withering plant can do is hold on to dear life and hope that someone is going to walk across the room with a watering kettle, right, and move it into the sun, put it on a window somewhere. If we understand that plants need adequate nutrition and care in order to thrive, why can't we treat ourselves the same way? Why do we have some kind of messed up idea that we're just going to pull energy out of thin air and somehow expect ourselves to be operating at peak capacity in every single situation? This hyper-masculine approach to healing is exactly what I meant in last week's episode, that this culture, these rules, the systems that we live in, were designed and created by people in the past who have trauma, and it's bled into every single belief system that we have about ourselves and the world. And that's the first thing that I really want you to know. And there's more to it as well. So balance is important, and this is best described through the universal principle of as above, so below, the law of correspondence that states that our external reality tends to mirror our internal world. In science, we just know this as the laws of equilibrium, right? That there is a balance that needs to be maintained. In my culture, we simply know this as the yin and the yang. And although it sounds very simple, this is a deep spiritual and scientific universal law that operates on every level of our existence, including the way that we deal with toxic and stressful situations. And what it means is that in order for us to cope in stressful environments, we have to balance not just what's happening out there, but also what's happening in here. And that this is a bi-directional relationship, which means that your environment will affect you, but the things that you do deliberately and intentionally will also affect the environment. But the problem is that if you are someone listening to the podcast, obviously the Inner Child podcast, if you have grown up with childhood trauma, you did not have the option of changing your physical external environment when you were a child. I mean, you were only 6 years old. You couldn't just leave, although some of you have experience running away from home. But for the most part, you were trapped in that environment. And the only thing that you could have done in your power was to use coping mechanisms to deal with the situation. And when you grow up with that mentality of it's us versus them, this mentality and this belief system of I cannot change my environment, therefore I can only cope and pray to God that something works out for me. You carry that mentality into adulthood, and that is why so many people with childhood trauma continue to not leaving their environment. I'm going to use this example from the way that circus animals are treated. And one of the ways that they have... There's a delivery coming. We're going to continue this video because my Amazon delivery person came. Anyways, one of the ways they train elephants to behave, you know, very sadly in circus environments, is they stick a pole next to the ground and tie the elephant to the pole. And every time they restrain the elephant, they stick that damn pole into the ground. And what happens over time is that you don't have to tie up the elephant anymore. You can just stick that pole in the ground and the elephant believes that it cannot move. And the reason I'm bringing this up is that if you've been conditioned at a young age that you can't leave your environment, you continue bringing that mentality into your adult life. And so people stay stuck in their hometown. People stay stuck hanging around the wrong type of person. A lot of folks who struggle with addictions find that if they maintain their friendships from when they had addictions, they fall back into old habits. All right. And again, there are situations where we cannot leave immediately, but I just wanted to point this out to you to highlight that there may still be a deeper underlying conditioning that you have around why you can't leave a certain situation and that this is something to maybe look at. So what we're going to transition into right now is talking about three practical things that I do with all my clients if they are in a current situation like this, where we are temporarily stuck in a stressful environment, but we just need to cope with it for the time being until something comes along. All right. Number one, this is only a temporary stage in your life. Notice how when we spoke about the law of correspondence, that the outer world matches our inner world. Well, as you grow as a person and as you heal as an individual, you are no longer going to be a match for your environment anyway. It's just like how someone who's in college should not be staying in kindergarten. It's just not a match for you anymore. And so what you always want to do is to create a goal to actually write out on a piece of paper or as a journal entry, what kind of environment actually matches the growth that you are about to embark on. And the reason why it's really important to write this down is I want you to make a plan. This is not just something that will fall into your lap someday. You are going to make intentional steps, whatever that may look like for you, towards getting yourself into a physical environment that actually matches the kind of person that you are becoming. What does it look like? How will you feel entering those spaces? What does a day-to-day itinerary look like if you were living in that situation? This could apply to a workplace. This could apply to your ideal living situation, your ideal relationship, etc., etc. For example, if your current work environment, and I saw a comment about this last week, if you have a very toxic work culture where everybody is not taking their lunch breaks and working overtime without pay, and you know that that's not right for you and that that's not something that aligns with you anymore, you would write out a paragraph about a workplace where it's run by people who share the same beliefs as you, where self-care is encouraged, where taking lunch breaks is rewarded even, where you would enter a physical space feeling inspired and motivated and happy to be there every single morning while drinking a cup of tea, for example. Write out what your current match is and make small but gradual steps towards getting yourself into a place like that. And you can use manifestation techniques for doing this. I've got some episodes on how to manifest like a year or two ago. But all in all, put that on the wall, make that something that you aspire towards. Number two is to create a game plan if you have particular stressors in your environment that are more or less predictable. For example, if you have to see your toxic neighbor every night around 6 p.m., that's something that's predictable. If you have to run into your landlord every weekend, that's something that's predictable. If you go to work every single morning and you hate it, that is something that is predictable. And why that's important is that if you know that something happens on a semi-regular basis, you can create a mental game plan to prepare yourself for dealing with that stressor when it comes up. And here are two things that I want you to do. You want to write a game plan note to yourself, and you want to have some sort of grounding or comfort item to take with you during those times. Now, in your letter to yourself, you're basically going to write a note to yourself from regulated state to when you are in a triggered or stressed out state. And in your letter, I'm going to give you a template, and it's going to read something like this. I am about to enter a space where, fill in the blank, and it's going to make me feel like I am losing my mind. Remember that it is not your fault if you start to feel this way or start to have these thoughts. And then you want to end your note with a positive affirmation. I'll put the template in the show notes so that you can fill it out. Maybe it sounds a bit confusing, but let me just fill that in with an example to show you what the purpose of this is. So you would say, I'm about to enter the office, and being in the office is going to make me feel extremely anxious. Remember that it is not your fault if you feel anxiety, because your boss is a piece of work. And my affirmation is that I am working towards my dream workplace where I can feel joyful every single morning. Something like that. Now, the purpose of this letter is to mentally prepare yourself for all the things that you forget when you're in a triggered state. Maybe when you're in a triggered state, you forget to breathe. Maybe when you're in a triggered state, you start to blame yourself and you forget that certain things are not your fault. And having a positive affirmation helps to prime your brain into remembering that this is not a forever situation. This is something that is temporary. And it's almost like you're giving yourself a pep talk and something to look forward to before entering a war zone. So go ahead and try that out. Write it on a small piece of paper, tuck it into your wallet, and make sure to read it to yourself every single morning or every single time that specific situation arises. The second thing is to have some sort of comfort object. I just have this little piece of rope here. And you want to hold this object as you're reading your note to yourself every morning so that you have a physical memory attached to and a physical sensation attached to this intention that you have set for yourself. And throughout the day, when you are in that toxic environment, you're just going to reach into your pocket and grab hold of that comfort object every time you're not feeling good to remind yourself of what is important. So you can use a special rock that means something to you, something soft like a piece of cotton, or maybe a photo of your child, a photo of your loved one to remind you of what's truly important to you. All right, so that's tip number two. Tip number three, and I'm just going to speak about this very briefly. We're going to have to maybe do another episode to really get into it because this is already getting a bit long. Tip number three is to become more aware of how you are filling your cup back up. When you are in these stressful environments, you are quickly going to find that your energy levels, let's say that we only have 100 units of energy every day, it's going to cut that in half as soon as you walk in the doors. Do not blame yourself for this. That's just what happens when you are in a soul-sucking environment. Your job is just to fill your cup back up. And maybe that means if you can't remove negative people out of your life at this moment, you just need to increase the amount of contact you have with positive people, with people who fill you up. Maybe that means you need to call your best friend more often these days. Maybe that means you need to start making some new friends to kind of balance out this other energy that you're getting from your workplace. Maybe it means that you need to move your body more and exercise, going on walks, adding things to your environment that can extract as many drops of joy as you can. So if you can't leave your current work environment, maybe you can bring in some, you know, fun pens and stickers and things to decorate your cubicle so that at least you can try to have as much fun as you can in a way that's within your control. And this requires you to get a little bit creative, right? And of course, that's what inner child healing is all about. How can you add things to fill your cup so that when it gets depleted, you can fill it right back up? We'll do another full episode on that later on. All right, so before I do the full call to action at the end where we summarize everything, make sure to subscribe if you want more helpful episodes and tips like this. And if you are currently in a situation where it's really stressful, it's really toxic, but you are going to use some of these tips to start making your way out of it while coping with the situation, please let me know in a comment below. I would love to see what you are currently up to. And if you share it with us, it helps you get some accountability into your plan. So let's go ahead with our full call to action. And first of all, really understanding the season that you're in. Understanding the balance between the external and internal world and how both are very important. Number one, you're going to want to set your goals for your new environment that you will slowly and surely aspire and work towards, because you need to have something to be hopeful for and something to start manifesting and calling into your life. Number two, create your game plan, your rainy day letter to yourself, and a comfort item, so that you can prepare yourself mentally if you have predictable stressors that you are walking into on a daily or weekly, monthly basis. And number three, if you cannot help your cup from being depleted, find ways to fill your cup back up. Increase your self-care, increase contact with people that make you feel good, and try to add as much joy into your environment as possible. Use fun pens, stickers, decorations, whatever your inner child desires that is currently still within your control. And the last thing that I want to add in as kind of a disclaimer number two is that sometimes you have to just make a move before you are ready. And I talked about this in a previous episode. Sometimes your environment, the external stuff, is so overpowering that there's not much that you can do to cope in that situation. All right. Coping means that it's temporary. It means that we're just getting by until we can find a way to get out of that situation. And I want you to remember that healing is not about becoming a robot. It's not about becoming a superhuman who is magically immune to every single type of trigger in the world. If you don't feel any sort of emotional reaction to triggers, you're not healed. You're dead, or you're a robot. Humans still have feelings, and there is great wisdom in knowing how to balance your environment to match your internal state and vice versa. Please remember that. When I was living in my home environment, living with my parents, I found that even if I made a 6-month plan to save up all this money to move out, I was so stressed and I had this constant brain fog just from being in that environment because all my energy was being spent on defending myself from that environment that I could not even execute this plan that I had come up with. And so it was actually costing me more time and more money to stay in that environment. And what I had to do was just find a place and get the heck out of there with maybe a couple of months of saving. The reason I want to point this out is that some people may disagree with me and think that this is a very foolish plan, that it was setting me up for a failure. But let me tell you this. The minute I got out of that environment and I was in my own apartment, it was like the fog had lifted. Suddenly, I had all this energy that was free now because I wasn't constantly defending myself in that war zone. Suddenly, I had all this creativity, all of this motivation that I could then apply to finding a way to make this work. Okay, now I live with my partner and I've been on my own ever since. And the reason I want to highlight this is that if the coping is still not working, use that feedback as information that perhaps there is too much happening on the external world, that the internal world can't counteract it. And so sometimes it is okay to start before you're ready. Again, that could be a whole other topic, but it's really important for me to say. So with that being said, let me know in the comments what you are going to do to take proactive steps towards helping your current situation. I love you all very much. Have a beautiful day and an abundant life. I'll see you in the next one. Mwah. Thanks for tuning in, bestie. I've got something for you. If you think this show deserves a 5-star review, we'll send you my free Inner Child Starter Kit as a thank you for your support, which contains exclusive wallpapers and resources for you to download. To get your kit, just upload a screenshot of your review on Apple or Spotify to my webpage, bygloriazhang.com/reviews. The link is also in the show notes. There you can also check out my healing sessions and programs at bygloriazhang.com. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast and I will meet you in the next episode. Mwah!